control. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
The IDF has made it into the depths of Gaza City, and that residents there are reporting massive explosions overnight.
Ivanka Trump's in the hot seat in her father's civil fraud trial today in New York. But prosecutors say the former president's daughter also benefited from financial schemes. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
She's expected to face questions about the value of her New York City apartment and two of the businesses over which she had oversight, Trump's Miami golf course and his former Washington, D.C. hotel.
Move over, Ozempic. Reporter Alexander Tin tells us the FDA's approved Eli Lilly's new weight loss drug.
Eli Lilly's tirzepatide drug, which the FDA had previously approved under the brand name Mounjaro for its use in treating diabetes, has now been also approved to be marketed for weight loss under the brand name Zepbound.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Assembly lawmakers are moving forward several bills to roll back affirmative action in higher education. One bill would require financial aid to be need-based and not race-based. Democrat Sheila Stubbs.
You are turning back pages of the history book and closing the gates to higher education for many minority students.
Another bill would set aside spots in the universities of Wisconsin for the state's top high school graduates. Meanwhile, the state Senate has passed several proposed constitutional amendments impacting Wisconsin elections. Non-citizens would be barred from voting in Wisconsin, and private money could not be used to cover election costs. The amendments could go to a statewide referendum as early as next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. UW-Green Bay may be dropping some majors and minors from its curriculum. Here's Pete Schwaba.
The school is considering no longer having economics, environmental policy, and theater as majors. UWGB sent a letter to all employees informing them of the potential changes. In the letter, the administration said students who have already selected those subjects as majors would be grandfathered in. The university also says if they drop the subjects as majors, they would still offer them as classes. The administration stressed in the letter that the potential move will not lead to any layoffs.
The Festival of Trees event will take place during Thanksgiving week at Aspirus Health in Rothschild. The 26th annual event is being held at the Central Wisconsin Expo Center November 22nd through the 26th. Tickets are sold at the door for $5. This fundraiser supports Aspirus Comfort Care and Hospice Services and the Aspirus Family House. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Mets say they were surprised, too. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Craig Counsell says he decided to leave the Brewers because he needed a new challenge. Counsell named the new manager of the Cubs at the baseball managers' meetings in Scottsdale. Mets president David Stearns was asked if he was surprised Counsell picked Chicago and not New York.
I didn't see that coming. You know, I'll say, look, I love Craig. Craig and I are going to be close, hopefully, for a long time. I think he's very good at what he does. And throughout this whole process, you know, what I told Craig is he needs to make the right choice for himself.
NFL, the Packers head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers Sunday. Matt LaFleur says that wide receiver Christian Watson did not suffer a concussion in their win Sunday. The Rams announced that they released quarterback Brett Rippon and signed Carson Wentz. College football, the Badgers are at home this Saturday against Northwestern. Luke Fickle on what he told his players after losing in Indiana for the first time in over 20 years.
What I laid into a little bit after the game was something that I feel like, you know, at times it's okay to be pissed.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered showers this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Highs around 45, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 44.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Wildcats at Camp Randall Stadium. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Are you surprised to learn there's an international business on Main Street in Nacoosa? Jacoby Custom Cues calls billiards one of the most popular recreational activities. It should know more than 3,000 cues are produced there every year. Jacoby started with 2 employees in 83 and now has more than 24. For locally grown radio WFHR, I'm Terry Barr.
Via.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, as always. It's tough to know where to start. There's a banquet of subjects, but I'll tell you where I'm going to start. What a great series of elections last night, the Democratic Party, and it bodes very, very well for the 2024 elections. Let me explain. We talked about a little yesterday, looked at some key races, and I'm going to go through them right now real quick. But with one exception, and that was Mississippi, and that was to be expected in a sense. The Democrats ran the table. In Kentucky, I used to have my first cousins, the Flynns on my dad's brother's side, lived in Louisville, Kentucky, a long time ago when DuPont had a plant out there. My uncle worked there. Andy Beshear, great governor, great Democrat, great, just flat out great governor. He won by 6 points, maybe a little more when they count everything, against his fellow Cameron. Remember something, Kentucky is red. It is a Republican state. Trump won it by big double digits against Joe Biden. You have Mitch McConnell as one of the senators, Rand Paul, whom I can't imagine anybody voting for. I can imagine people who are conservatives voting for Mitch McConnell, but not Rand Paul. And this fellow Massey, M-A-S-S-I-E, who's truly bad news. He thinks he's a libertarian. But I'll tell you what, the elected people down there kind of make you raise your eyebrows, except Andy Beshear. Now, how did Andy Beshear do it? Well, first of all, he was a very popular governor. He's very well liked. His approvals are somewhere up in the 60s. Secondly, his father, Steve Beshear, was also a governor of Kentucky. The Beshear name is well known and well regarded, sort of a brand name for governor. And he did it by doing extremely well in the eastern part of the state in coal country. Obviously, he did well in Louisville and he did well in Lexington. But coal country, and West Virginia near it is coal country as well, at one time was Democratic. And then people looked on the Democratic Party as abandoning them on immigration and some social issues. But Andy Beshear went in there and he won it. He won it somewhat, perhaps largely, for doing well in coal country. The other thing that didn't hurt, the Republican opponent was this guy named Cameron. He was the attorney general. He is the attorney general. And he's the guy who would not prosecute the policeman who killed Breonna Taylor. Remember Breonna Taylor? She's in bed in her own apartment. And they come in and they shot her. They flat out shot her in bed. Most experts look at that and they would say this: 98% of police officers are heroes. They're wonderful people. They deserve our full support. But you have somebody that goes in and guns somebody down in bed, and she wasn't waving a gun. She wasn't doing any of that stuff. They have to get prosecuted. Cameron didn't do that. He gave a little sort of weak smile, and he sucks up to Trump. This was a referendum in a way on what people now down there think of Donald Trump. And yes, obviously, the Republican got some votes, a lot of votes, but he didn't get anywhere near enough to win. In Ohio, there were two ballot measures, one to enshrine in the Constitution the right to abortion, and the other one to legalize marijuana. Both of them passed. The abortion one passed 57-43%. It's in the Constitution now. And there was an absolute blitz to defeat it. From the Republican Party, lots of money spent, a lot of questionable things about publicity about the about this referendum, this constitutional referendum, a lot of misstatements about it. It flat out passed in Ohio. Ohio is a slightly red state, Sherrod Brown, great senator, is up for re-election, Democrat. We support him and have high hopes for him. In New Jersey, we ran the table. You know, New Jersey has voted Democratic recently, but New Jersey over time has voted for Republicans too, especially Republican governors, and in the past, some Republican congressmen. This time, the Republicans spent a ton of money in the 11th Senate district there. Unlike Wisconsin, the Senate districts out there have two assembly districts within them, not three. And both the members of the assembly and the state Senate run every 2 years. So the 11th, the Republicans are hoping to flip. They were hoping to flip the assembly seats there, and they lost. In fact, the last time I looked at it last night, which is fairly late in the game, the Democrat was leading the Republican 60-39. 60-39. We also flipped a deep red assembly seat in New Jersey. There are some assembly seats in New Jersey that are just flat out very Republican. The 30th district is one of them. It hasn't gone for a Democrat in more than 30 years, and we flipped it. In Virginia, we held the Senate. It was expected to flip back Republican because of Glenn Youngkin, but no. We still hold the Senate. We held it, and we flipped the Assembly. The Assembly, we were down by four Assembly seats, and we flipped it. And we flipped it in some areas that traditionally were Republican. The Heartbreak Hotel was Mississippi. My man, Brandon Presley, Elvis Presley's shirt-tail cousin, from Tupelo, Mississippi, put on a hell of a fight. He did better than anybody else could have done, but he succumbed to Tate Reeves. Problem with Mississippi, it's a great state. I've been there. I served in the Navy with a guy named Wayne Cornelius Atkinson, Lieutenant J.G. Wayne Cornelius Atkinson from Pascagoula, Mississippi. He and his wife, Vicki, if they're listening, which they probably aren't, if you're in Mississippi and you see Wayne Cornelius Atkinson and his wife, Vicki, say hello from Matt Flint. You know, Brandon Presley put on a hell of a fight, but down there it is so bifurcated. And let me tell you something else. Tate Reeves had a corruption problem. Tate Reeves was not a normal Republican. And yet he eked out a win over Brandon Presley. In Rhode Island, there was tremendous enthusiasm. They elected their first black member of Congress, a guy named Gabe Amo, A-M-O. Parents came here from Africa. He grew up in Pawtucket. I don't know if he was born in Africa or Pawtucket, but he beat the Republican, and he beat him handily, and he is now in Congress. Going back to New Jersey real quick, there have been some speculation that the Republicans might flip one of the chambers. Well, no, that didn't happen. Dems held both chambers and took some ruby red seats in those chambers. The one I was especially pleased to see was Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court. That was a tough one. Going into that race, Democrats had a 5-2 majority. The fear was the Republican would win. Guess what? The Republican did not win. We still have a 5-2 majority. And that makes a lot of difference when it comes to lawsuits that are very liable to occur after the 2024 election, because you know that the Trump and the Republican National Committee will go in and rattle the cage all they can when they lose. And there was tremendous enthusiasm in New York and some of these county supervisor and, you know, lower level township type cases. Now, so what explains, remember all the sky is falling, doom and gloom the other day, poll Biden against Trump. Five of the six races polled were margin of error, including the one Biden wins in Wisconsin. And the Marquette poll just came out too, shows him beating Trump by 2 points in Wisconsin. That's margin of error. But the other ones are margin of error too, all except Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, all margin of error. And even Nevada, that's not at all consistent with the other polls. What it really comes down to is this, and a lot of people involved in politics always forget this. You know, you're not voting just in that race in a hermetically sealed chamber and don't pay attention to anything else. Each party brands itself with what it's been up to, what it's been doing, good and bad, skullduggery and all. And the Republican Party right now, because of Trump, but because of the weakness and frankly, the corruption of a lot of the rest of the party, is sending a signal of authoritarianism, fascism, opposed to individual liberties. Tommy Tuberville supporting him, not promoting now, is coming on 450 senior military advisors and officers. The commander-in-chief of the 5th Fleet is vacant. Our troops are under attack in Syria and Iraq by Iranian proxies. And we don't have commanding officers in a lot of places because of the Republican Party, because of Tommy Tuberville. People see that. People know that. It has become the party of racial division. It basically has branded itself, ID'd itself on racial terms. And that's why when they put up people like Cameron or, you know, Nikki Haley, we're going to talk next segment about the debate coming up, but Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Tim Scott, they don't have snowball chance in hell. The base of the Republican Party will never vote for them, and all for the wrong reasons. For the wrong reasons. When you have a party whose base is the Proud Boys, the 3%ers, people like the Oath Keepers, people like the Ku Klux Klan. Scalise, remember, spoke to a white supremacist group in Louisiana and said, I'm David Duke without the baggage. He's the number two guy. Nobody even mentioned it. Nobody criticized him. Tuberville said he's a white supremacist. That's what he said. When you have a party like that, people take that into account. And even moderates and independents don't like it. Well, let's see what's coming up. I'll tell you what's coming up. What's coming up is Ivanka. Ivanka on the stand. Don't go away. Ivanka on the stand.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
7-8-9, Ivanka. I'll tell you what, they did not photograph her. They couldn't televise her. The judge did not give permission. He could have in New York. He could have given permission to televise all this. He didn't. In my law practice, I represented media outlets getting cameras in courtrooms in Wisconsin. It is up to the judge, but there's a strong presumption that the judge will let you in, and most of them do. It's very unobtrusive. You have a pool camera. You don't have 30 cameras in there. You don't have 30 cameras. You have a pool camera. Very unobtrusive. Just a little eye. And then that's fed to everybody in the media who wants it. You don't have that, though, in this trial. Would have been really nice to see Trump melting down, Donald Trump, earlier in the week. But Ivanka, there were some pictures of her walking on the way in. She did not stand to give photo ops. She did not say anything. She looked very good. You know, she's all dressed to the nines. And unlike her father, she was polite and demure. And there's a couple of things leading up to this. One of them is she was originally sued along with her brothers and her dad because she was part of the fraud. When the judge would not let her out, she appealed to the Court of Appeals. And the Court of Appeals in New York let her out on the statute of limitations, because she did not apparently do any of the fraud within the statute of limitations. And the statutes of limitations can be, in Wisconsin, for instance, it's 6 years for fraud. It's 2 years for an intentional tort. It's 3 years, 6 years, 3 years for other kinds of contract breaches. So whatever it is in New York, they said that they didn't dispute she committed fraud, but it was a long enough time ago, before 2016, they let her out. But then she said, well, I don't have to testify. And I'll tell you what, Judge Erdogan said, no way, you are testifying. You were the point person, along with Jared Kushner, in the Deutsche Bank loans. One of the things that they demanded at Deutsche Bank, because they were lending a lot of money, is Trump has to maintain a $3 billion, with a B, billion-dollar net worth. And that's common. If you're going to give loans for hundreds of millions, you can insist that their net worth be maintained at a high number. She knew his net worth was not $3 billion. So she went back and said, how about lowering it a lot? And they negotiated. She was part of this. And then they finally said the lowest we'll go is $2.5 billion. And that's what the document said. He had an obligation. He had an obligation to have a net worth of $2.5 billion. He didn't have $2.5 billion. He got $2.5 billion by saying that his apartment was 30,000 square feet and worth a couple hundred million dollars when it was worth about $11 million. See what I mean? This is the kind of stuff the guy did. In return for that, he saved about $160 million in various loan accommodations, interest, and all that, in cash, because he'd been gone bankrupt six times before. His properties had. He segregates out his properties, and then you lend to the property, and he pulls the plug. The guy's a master at this thing. The guy's Houdini when it comes to wiggling out of contracts. He's crime on the hoof. I mean, the guy. All right, I want to borrow $200 million. Okay. Hey, where'd it go? I don't know. I don't know. This is the kind of thing they're doing. Now, when they got to her appearance today, and they started asking her about financial statements and things she'd done prior to 2016, her lawyer jumps up and says, wait a minute, that's barred by the statute of limitations. No, it's not. The Court of Appeals says she couldn't be sued for it, but she has to testify about it because, as Judge Erdogan pointed out, it had a refresher clause in it, all of these documents, that said each year there had to be a continual guarantee he was worth $2.5 billion, for instance. And he wasn't. He wasn't. The guy's essentially a fraud. So what do we got? So she testifies, very demure. She tried to get out of it. You remember the weaselly way she tried to get out of it? She goes, well, I'm down in Florida now. It's not convenient for me to come to New York. too bad. Okay, number two, I'm a mom, just a mom. It's middle of the school week. Let me tell you something. If a single mom even in Milwaukee in the inner city was subpoenaed and she said to the judge, I have kids and it might really not be convenient for her with no child care, nobody would give her any relief whatsoever. So the judge said, come on, knock it off. And it's not like she flew up on Delta or Southwest Airlines. She flew up on their plane. And so she gets in and is hustled into the courtroom. When she's on the stand, she knows nothing. She's like that Sergeant Schultz in Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. She goes, I'm not an accountant. Okay, so what? Neither am I. But if I'm going to certify a financial statement, or I am going to have, she was the executive vice president of the Trump Organization. If she's going to say, okay, I'm going to advise the senior people at the Trump Organization to certify this financial statement, you can't say I'm not an accountant. Boy, there's a lot of numbers on there. God, a ton of numbers. I'm just a mom. Then they asked her about these financial statements that Trump certified with information that she'd provided. And she goes, well, I wasn't privy to his financial statements. Well, hey, that wasn't the question. Did you provide the information for those financial statements? And basically, did you cook it up in the parking lot with your father? Well, I have no memory of that. When they showed her a document, she'd say, is that your signature? She'd say, it sure looks like it. I don't dispute it. I don't remember this document. It was like it came in from Mars or Saturn or something. Now, if there were a jury there, this is so non-credible, so incredible, it would have hurt them. But there is no jury there. And the judge has already, on partial summary judgment, found Trump and his two sons.